while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Lovely to be back here again. As Pastor Deji said, last time I came was for the induction and ordination of your pastor, Deji. But yesterday I watched online where I saw Pastor Jasmine being induced into the church, inducted into the church. Thank you. That's very posh. What am I meant to do with this? Also, just for you to know, there's a connection. You're forever connected to Rye Lane Chapel now, because Deji was there, as he mentioned, as a student while he was at Spurgeon's, and it was good to have him with us. And it's actually quite interesting that he's now here, and we've just called a pastor, literally just called a pastor, and he has his first Sunday today, and I'm not there. I'm here with you. But also, Jasmine grew up in Rye Lane Chapel. And so Rye Lane Chapel, you're indebted to us. That's all I'm trying to say. You're indebted. but I do really believe that you have good people, under shepherds here, who will push you to be the best that you can be as men and women of God. They will get under your skin and push your boundaries. But allow God to have his way. Here. And I have to say, it's such a lovely atmosphere of worship and joy here. I know you had the celebration yesterday. You should have just let Jasmine preach today, because she's ready to go, yeah? She's ready to go. It's just lovely atmosphere of worship. And I had to smile when you said the time is 9 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time as opposed to 9 o'clock Caribbean Time or African Time. Do you mean 9 o'clock is what she means? But it's lovely to be here, and I understand you're going through a series. I do bring greetings from Rye Lane Chapel in Peckham, and as a church, we have the last couple of years been seeking a pastor, and like all of us, we've been through and coming out of this pandemic, and coming back into a space and asking the Lord, what does church look like? You know, the church is not the building. If you didn't know that, you now know it, because you haven't been in the building for a long time. The church is not the building. We are the church. But what does it look like? And so as we pray for ourselves, I pray for you as you kind of rediscover what church looks like in 2021. And one last thing before I get onto the sermon. I just want to salute this man behind me who got married yesterday. And he's in church. Wow. What's all I can say is wow. Wow. You obviously have a very good wife. A very good wife. And you're a very good man. You know, who else would get married one day and come to church the next day? You're a good man. You best look after him, huh? Okay, let's look to God's word and see what he wants to say to us today through it. So, the scripture's been read from Isaiah, and I'm not sure how you feel about coming out of this whole pandemic thing that we've had. It's been a journey, hasn't it? It's been a journey. If you consider the last year and a half, and however you've had to deal with that, and the loss of life that we've had, and for some of us, we've lost loved ones. For some of us, we've lost more than one loved one. And it's not... It hasn't been the same. We haven't been able to console. You haven't been able to touch each other. You haven't been able to gather in a house and have nine night or just exchange stories. You haven't been able to go to the funeral and support and let them know that you are there for them. You haven't been able to grieve properly. And I wonder, coming out, just how you're doing. And I ask that question because as we look at this passage in Isaiah, The people in there are weary and they're tired. And the first part of the book of Isaiah, up to chapter 39, is a book about God's judgment on them, actually, for how they've been living. And they're in exile, and God says, you're not living right. And the chapter that we start with, chapter 40, it then brings hope. It brings comfort. It starts with comfort, comfort, my people. And for us, I pray that as we begin to emerge out of this, that you will know the comfort of God, that you will know the hope and the strength of God as you come out, because you may feel battered, actually, and weary and tired and wondering, where is God? And I just want us to look at these couple of verses. Now, names are important. So Isaiah, the prophet of God, who was in exile, he has a name, a favorite name for God. And his favorite name for God is Holy One of Israel. And if you look through God's word, it's used about 35 times, okay? And it's used about 25 times, but 31 times. It's used 25 times in the book of Isaiah alone, Holy One of Israel. And it's a distinctness of God he wants to capture. He's the Holy One of Israel. All the other nations have their gods, but they're lesser gods. They're gods that come and gods that die. They're gods that I have to build with my own hands, and then they are destroyed. They're gods that ask us to sacrifice our loved ones, our children. But this God, the Holy One of Israel, he says, I will give to you. And they're like, but no, the gods don't give to us. We have to sacrifice. And God comes in a different way, this Holy One of Israel, this distinct God, and he says, no, I will give to you. And that's the change that God brings into this situation. He's the Holy One of Israel, and that's what Isaiah calls him. And he's holy. He's a God who is holy. Now, his holiness does demand, is that the right word? A response from us. And the response and the lifestyle choices that Israel were living were not in accordance to God. Hence his judgment on them. But this is the change. This is the change that he is going to bring. And so here we have the context. And they're saying, we're weary, we're tired. Does God even care about us? That's the question. That's the backdrop to this. Is God even able to do anything about it? Let's face it, the Babylonians came and snatched us out of God's hand. Could he have stopped them? Could he have? Does he care? Will he come and deliver us and save us? The answer to those questions is yes, yes, yes. Yes, he does care. Yes, he will deliver them. And so here, Isaiah then comes with that word of comfort. And he starts with a question, a faith question, which is wonderful. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And the thing is, he knows they know because he's told them already. Yes? He's told them already. And it's a faith question. You know it in here, but in here. Do you not know your God, the Holy One of Israel? Have you not heard? And in this book, it tells us this. To whom will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? To whom will you compare God? Do you not know who your God is? Have you not heard about him? If you think about the story of Rahab, we know the story of Rahab, and the spies came into the city, and they ran into her place, and she said to them, "I've heard of your God. I've heard of his fame. We're quivering with fear because we know what your God has done. We've seen what he has done to the other nations. I've heard of him." And here Isaiah is saying to them, do you know what you have? Do you know what you have? We need to, again, look at our God and know what we have. We like to put him in a box and think he's just like us. He's not. In case you wonder, he's nothing like us, thankfully. Be thankful God's not like me, okay? Be really thankful. I'm sure my husband's thankful that God's not like me. Because I remember things. But God's not like us. At all. He's mighty, he's powerful. When I say, "Sorry, God, remove my sin from me," guess what he does? He removes my sin from me. He doesn't bring it up again the next time that I come to him. He is not like us. Do you know who it is you're worshipping? When you're clapping your hands, when you're dancing, when you're jigging, do you know who it is? Do you know, have you heard about your God, the Holy One of Israel? This is the backdrop of where we're going to go. Because if you don't know your God, you won't know what he can do. You won't know his might. You won't know his power. You won't know his mercy. You won't know his grace. Just have this as a backdrop. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Stand forward. Who did I consult to put this universe in place? Who was my counselor? He says, step forward. There's silence. God consults no one. God is God. So here we have Isaiah just reminding them about who their God is. He's the everlasting God. He's the eternal God. He's the creator God. He's the God who is never weary. Now, I'm sure there's times in your life where you can keep going. You're on a roll, and God's Spirit's with you, and tiredness doesn't get you. You're just like, let me go again, let me go again, let me go again. But mark my words, tiredness will come. I don't care how fit you are. I don't care if you're at the peak of your physical ability. Tiredness will come to you. When we look at this passage, this is what it says. The Lord is the everlasting, never changing, eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. That is, we can think of that in the physical, but also think about that in terms of his character. He will not grow tired or weary of coming after you, of pursuing you. It says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow you. It will pursue you, chase after you all the days of your life. That's the God. He will not tire of coming after you. You may feel, God, I burnt my bridges. He's going to give up. He will never give up on you. He will never say, one too many. He's coming for you. He will not be tired and he will not be weary. But it goes on to say this. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But listen to this. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. But those. See, it paints a picture of the tired, of those who are stumbling, those who are weary. But then it says, but those. That doesn't mean all of us. But those who choose to, those who trust in the Lord, who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. And it's the pathway to renewal. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. It's a pathway. It's a pathway. And we can choose to take it, or we can choose to not go up that pathway. But it is about those who will hope, wait, trust in the Lord. But what does that look like? What does that look like? What does it mean for you to hope in the Lord? To trust in the Lord? To wait on the Lord? For some of us, it does mean stopping. It means just waiting. When you consider Abraham had to wait on God for his son, when you consider that David speaks about waiting on God, and in the Psalms it speaks about, my soul waits on God as the watchman wait for the morning. As the watchman wait for the morning. And a watchman, they're not just sitting there all night. They're up and they're actively looking for the morning, for the sunset, for anyone who's coming on the horizons. They're actively looking and waiting for the morning to come. God says, wait on me. Wait on me. When you're weary, when you're tired, when you just say, I can't do this, the pathway to renewal is through waiting on God. The pathway to God's Spirit refreshing you is through trusting in God. The pathway to hope is through us waiting on God. I'm aware that when we think about waiting, I don't know if anyone's been out since this lockdown thing has happened, as in out, as opposed to out in the front room, but out of your front door, out. But it's different. It's very different. You get served on, you get waited on, don't you? People come to the table and wait on you. That's the kind of waiting we need to do with God. It's an active waiting. It's not a sitting down with just twiddling your thumbs and waiting for God to do something for me. No. You get up and you go and do the things that God has put in your path. Waiting on God, waiting for his voice, waiting for his prompting, waiting for his leading. As you wait on God, as you hope in God, as you trust in God, that is the pathway to renewal. And then it says this, which is a beautiful image in God's word. They will soar on wings like eagles. I didn't know much about eagles until I started looking at this. But eagles are a bird amongst birds, really. If you see some birds in your garden, they're flapping all the time, like this. Not an eagle. Not an eagle. An eagle will obviously flap to get going. But then what they do, they catch what's called the thermal air, the wind, and it catches them, and then they just soar. They just soar. And when there's a storm, they can feel the storm coming. And then what they do is they catch the storm and they soar above the storm. It's not as though God takes them out of the storm. They just soar above it. And God's Spirit catches them. Is this on? Can you put this one back on for me? Thank you. But God's Spirit catches them, and they just soar above it. For those of us who want to do great things for God, we long to soar, I'm telling you. We want to soar, because when an eagle soars, they get a perspective that you wouldn't get being on the ground. They can see, apparently, 5 kilometres, it's about 3.5 miles, I think, what's over there, from the high perspective that they have, and they go for it. And I've learned that they don't eat dead things. Vultures will eat something dead. An eagle will only eat live prey. I want to say this to us, okay? Obviously, we're not eagles, but the fact that the picture is painted for us, God's word says that we could soar like eagles. And it doesn't mean there won't be a storm in your life. It just means that God's Spirit could lift you and give you a higher perspective, a higher mindset, a different heart about it. But it also means that we don't want to eat yesterday's manna. We need fresh. Fresh. Every day fresh. We thank God for yesterday, but we can't live on it today. We need something fresh. And so for those of you who want to soar, who want to challenge, who want to kick back the darkness, go and do it. Go and kick back the darkness. Challenge. Challenge people in power. Challenge those who are not doing things that are right. And also to be different and soar with God's Spirit, knowing that He is with you. I'm just aware that we need people like that in society. People who will not just be mundane. And forgive me if you're happy in your mundane. But God's word doesn't call us to mundane. He doesn't call us to comfortable. He doesn't call us to safe. That's not what he didn't call you to come and be safe. He didn't say that in his word. He says, come. Let's start a revolution. Let's show people what it looks like to be a child of God. Let's show people what strength we have when life is difficult. Let's show people what peace we could have when life is not offering us peace. Let's show people what justice looks like. Come, let's soar on wings like eagles. It talks about 3 different things: soaring, running. Let's run the race that God has put before us. Don't run anybody else's race, run your own. You know how you like to look at other people? And go, oh, I wish I could, oh. Take your eye off them. Put your eye on your race. Run it to the best of your ability. Okay? Don't be green-eyed about anybody else's. Don't be condemning about anybody else's race. It's not your race. When Peter said, when Jesus said to Peter when they were on the beach, and he was going, well, what about him? What about him? You know, I paraphrase. Jesus said, mind your own business. It's not your business what's going to happen to him. Run your race. And your race is different to my race. And please applaud me in my race, and I'll applaud you in your race. Okay? But run your race. So that at the end of time, the Lord will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, for what you've done. Because you ran your own race. But can I tell you where we go wrong? We compare ourselves too much. The fact that we've just come out of lockdown, okay, what's going to happen is we look at each other and we go, oh, look at her. She's put on some weight in lockdown, she. Look at her. Ah. And then you see someone else, like, oh, they got fit during lockdown. And oh, they cut their hair. Listen, mind your own, yeah? Mind your own health, your own business. But more importantly, spiritually, in this time of lockdown, what were you and Jesus doing? What were you and Jesus doing? Some of us didn't even tune into nothing. Nothing apart from LBC Radio. Doom and doom and more doom and more news and more doom and wonder why you're feeling low and depressed. What were you tuning into? I pray you were tuning into Jesus. In the middle of that storm that we had, and just saying, dear Lord, what is this? I ask that question often, what is this that we're going through? The world shut down. The planes stopped flying. People are dying. What is this? Where were you? Where was I with Jesus in that? Regardless, that's the past. This is now. Where are you now? Where are you now with him? Because he's still got work for you to do. He still wants you to soar. He still wants you to run that race. But it also says, walk. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I do wonder which is the hardest of the three, actually. When you're soaring, you're on fire, yeah? You're just going, you're going, I'll soar forever. You're in the moment, it's got favour on you. When you're running, again, it's just walking. Sounds a bit boring, doesn't it? Sounds a bit boring. But that's what we need to do, because throughout life, we're not going to soar every day. We're not going to run every day. But trust me, you need to walk this walk of faith every day. Every day. In your home, every day. In your workplace, in college, in university. You need to walk it every day. And when you're walking, no one notices you. See, when you're an eagle and you're up and you're soaring, they go, oh, look at that picture of elegance and power. When you're running, you get applauded. When you're walking, ain't nobody noticing. I say that apart from the audience of one. The audience of one who is Jesus. Walk. I joined an organization. I came to London for a year, 30 odd years ago. And I remember the founder of the organization. He said to us, we were young, we want to change the world for Jesus. And we were just like, let's just get on with it, let's just do this. And he said to us, 56 of us in a room, and he said, I'm telling you now, the 56 of you here in this room, not all of you will be following Jesus in 10 years. I was upset. I thought, how dare you? Dare you say that? He was right. He was right. Of the 56 of us in the room, I don't know how many, but I know of a few, I didn't say two, a few from that room who are not following Jesus. Now, bear in mind, they took a year out to come and do this gap year, but now they're not following Jesus. Let me encourage you. Yes, go for the big things. Go and soar and challenge and kick down and build and do all the things, but one step at a time. Every day, walk your faith. Walk the path that God has given to you. No one will notice, apart from Jesus, but that's all you need. But walk it, so that you can get to the end. Because what you don't want to do is have a moment in time, back in the day when I loved Jesus, back in the day, what about today? What today? It's a bit like, you know, when we who's got a testimony? And they go, well, 50 years ago, when I, 50 years ago, did Jesus not do something last week? Did he not do something yesterday? Did he not do something last year? Walk. I think the walking is the hardest. It's the hardest. Because we have to walk with our family. And they can be hard work. We have to walk with our neighbours. And they can be hard work. Our colleagues, each other. Walk your faith. Walk till you get to that finishing line. As Dirty says, I work in a hospital and I meet some of the loveliest people. And there's some people I meet and their days are coming to an end in terms of their life here on earth. And they just ooze, honestly, Christ-likeness. They're in pain, but they just ooze. You walk up to their bed and their hand is out, so to come into my space. And I'm just thinking, Lord, when I get older, when I get older, I pray I have something of their spirit. Because when you're old and in pain, you have a right to be miserable. Huh? Because life's hard and your body ache in every part of you. But when you can soar above it and still have a Christ-like attitude in spite of it, I see it. And I think, Lord, let me be something like that. Let me be something. When your family's difficult and the storm is coming, pray that God will help you to soar above the arguments and the nitpicking and the backstabbing. Pray in your college or university, your community, whatever's going on, and there's a storm, that God will give you the ability to run your race in the midst of it. But if you feel unable to soar, you feel unable to run, walk. But what you don't do is give up. Even if you gave up through the pandemic and you just thought, oh yeah, we're coming out now. And I know of our God that is a God of new beginnings. Yeah? He's a God, he says, let's go again. Let's go again. This is our chance to go again. We come back. No one knows. It's not their business, remember? It's not their business. You and God know. Come and walk your walk. Run your race. Soar. Your path. You and Jesus. Let's do this. I wanted to, there's a last slide that I just want us to look at. I was going to eat an apple in front of you, but I thought it wouldn't go down very well. So I thought I'd give you a picture. And which of these has the most potential for life when you look at this picture? You have an apple. If you're going to eat an apple, you might as well eat the nicest apples. Pink ladies, the most expensive ones in the store, I hasten to add. But once you get to the core of the apple, which is normal, you just chuck it away. Because it's finished. Done. And some of us, some of you, I can't put myself in there. I'm not that old yet. Some of us may feel we're coming to the latter stages of life. And, you know, I'm done, you know. And I'm kind of thrown to one side and I'll just stay here till Jesus comes. And then you've got the seed, which is just starting. But the seed doesn't know it's got to go into that dark soil. The seed has got to go into a dark place. The seed has to die in order for life to come. But if we go back to the core isn't finished. Because in the core, there's seeds. And so, wherever you find yourself, whether the latter stages of life, you've still got a seed. You've still got life. And if you're a seed and you're young, just remember, don't knock the older ones. You need them. You need them. They can tell you things about God's faithfulness in their life. They can tell you stories how God brought them through. When you're whimpering about something small, go and speak to an older person who will tell you how God held them when their family was wiped out or their village was wiped out or they had no money and they had six children but God turned up. They've got stories to tell which will build our faith. And those who are young, and I don't mean just young in age, but young. Part of your growing is to go into that dark place and to die to self and allow God to let you flourish. And flourish you will. Flourish you will if you allow God's Spirit to come upon you and to fill you. And then one day, you might not believe me now, you will be that core that people want to chuck to one side. But don't forget, you've still got life. You've still got life. At the end of the day, until God takes your last breath, He has a job for you to do. There's people who say, I just want to go, I'm a burden to my family, I can't do anything. Until God calls your name, you've got life. And you've got a job to do. Walk your path. If you don't know what's on your path, wait on the Lord. He will tell you. It's not a game of hide and seek. He will tell you what it is He has for you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.